Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Tutor Podcast. Unfortunately, today I have this thing back with me again.
Fuck you.
Language buddy. Remember, YouTube status and text. That's your word. But today's episode, 248, we have a special guest with us today. A lot of talking to, a lot of catching up, a lot of news happening out on in the RGB, but this one's going to be a great one. So, you ready?
Let's do this.
Let's rock and roll, man. Let's get it. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Tutor Podcast. And like I said, this thing is back. And a lot of things have been happening the last couple of days. We got mentioned on the World Podcast Network.
The other podcasters in the world, there's an entire network of them, saw our show and gave us a shout out.
Yes.
That just blows our mind.
No kidding, man. Consider the fact that it was an episode, like you said, the one you were on.
That's right. That's right. Irrefutable proof.
Yeah, whatever. But
who's the star of the show?
Well, that's why I don't have you on camera. But today we have a special guest with us, man. He was running just a little nervous, but we calmed him down. We gave him like 4 shots of tequila, and
I went through all the trouble to make it worse.
We got a special guest with us. Very, very intelligent young man, and a very interesting job that he's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite and gladly introduce Mr. Javier Cavazos in the podcast. Woo! What's going on, Javi?
Welcome, Javi. Thank you.
Man, I came into the podcast right now. I know we were talking about we're just being a little nervous. It's okay. We all get the starting jitters. It's not a big deal. It's like we're pretty much shooting the crap.
We're just shooting crap. We're just going to get to know you. Yeah. Let me introduce you.
Where were you last week? No, I'm just joking. No, man. So the way our show is, Javi, is that we like to get to know the guest. Where they're from, where they grew up, how they got into what they're doing. By the way, if you are watching, guys, Javi is, I guess, co-owner or almost co-owner of this horse stables.
Is it Mero Fregon, bro?
But he reached out to my niece. Shout out to Ella Rose. Reached out to me, to my niece, and he reached out to me. I'm like, hey, man, I'd love to have you on. And the stuff that I've been seeing online that you post on Instagram, it's some nice stuff. Horse jumping, horse riding. Before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Where you from, where you grew up, and how we got to who we're at right now.
So, as you know, I got Cavazos.
Yeah.
So I'm from Hidalgo. I grew up in Hidalgo, born and raised there. My mom, they're from Mexico, my family.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they don't know how I got into horses.
Right.
I was a little baby, probably like, 4 months old, and they put me on this horse that lasted me a lifetime, and they wanted to take me off the horse.
And no way.
And so I started crying, and I was like,
"Hey, no way I'm getting off this thing, Mom."
Yeah, and then since there, my passion started growing stronger and stronger, and that's where I am now.
Right, and not only this is a horse that you were saying that, through the years, when you started off at a young age, first it was the riding first? What's the techniques that you need to learn to get on a horse? Because I'm terrified of them, bro. I mean, look at me. I'm an old man.
Shut up, dude.
Shut the hell up. Well, maybe it is in a different state. But what does it take for somebody? I know you offer horse riding lessons, but a lot of people say, you want to learn, anybody can do it. You just need to be taught, right? Yeah. So when you were at that young age, when you started, right, as you said, like for a young baby, they put you on a horse. When you got up, did you find yourself that you really want to learn how to ride horses?
Yeah, I mean, since I was a baby, I really didn't understand.
Right,
I just
right.
liked it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But when the influenza came through, like mm-hmm. the first case, I got it.
Oh, goodness.
And I remember I got really sick. I was hospitalized. And I started watching this show called Saddle Up, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
And it was on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And I saw they were doing the jumping, Western, all mm-hmm. the fun stuff. And when I was in quarantine, I would watch it. And I kept repeating the same episodes over and over.
Right, right.
And then I told my mom, I want to do this. Like, I want to do the jumping part.
Mm-hmm.
And since there, I just started going. And then, what was it like? I was in middle school, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I found a barn, and they did the sport.
Okay.
So from there, I started taking lessons. I started going, and then I started developing
mm-hmm.
The professionalism mm-hmm. of the show jumping.
Right.
Which is, that's the sport that's called of the jumping the fences.
Right,
and
right.
Basically, people are like, oh, you're just jumping like a big dog over fences. And technically, we are. We're jumping.
Only I'm riding them, man. I'm riding them. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
It's really complicated.
I mean, it is complicated, I'm not going to lie. It
yeah.
is really mentally tiring.
Yeah.
You have to have really good mindset. You have to be really positive.
It's a sport.
Yeah, it's a sport. And not just you're the athlete. The horse is the athlete.
Right,
well.
Right, right.
So you have to make sure that the horse and you have the connection and make sure that both of you are mentally stable enough
right.
to make sure you can do the obstacles,
right.
you can do the course, you can go to competitions, and all the fun stuff.
Yeah,
because if your horse doesn't trust you, because, like, you met people that are, like, all twitchy and everything.
Yeah.
If they bring that energy to the horse, it's going to feel that, too.
My client, she's 14 years old, and
mm-hmm.
she came one day, and she started pretty good, but she wasn't getting the technique that I was trying to teach her, and
mm-hmm.
she got frustrated. So that frustration made her fall.
Oh, shoot.
So I told her,
yeah.
hey, you need to relax, breathe in, breathe out, make sure that the nerves stay outside the arena.
Right.
In the ring, it's just you and your horse and the trainer.
Right.
right? So I give her a pep talk, everything. She did it again, and she's like, I don't think I want to jump. I'm like, okay, you don't want to jump?
Right.
Let's just do the poles, but make sure you're going confident.
Right.
Because if you don't go confident, you fall.
Right.
And the nerves kick in and everything. So
right,
there's
right.
something more than just a fall can happen.
Right. But consider the fact that it's a live animal, bro. This thing's I'm not going to call it a monster. It's a big animal. I mean, you're about, at least 4 or 5 feet in the air? Maybe even 6.
It depends on how tall the horse is.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Because if the horse is, like, medium-sized, the fall's not that hard. But if it's taller than that, you have to make sure that you know, like, hey, I can fall from this. I don't know how high I'm on the horse. I'm also in the air, so I need to make sure, like, hey,
right.
make sure I'm good enough. I'm thinking about everything.
Right.
And just be conscious of it.
I mean, because I've gotten on top of this guy's shoulder. I get scared, man. It's a long drop.
And believe me, I will kick him off. He said on my shoulder. On my shoulder.
On his further. Shoulder. Yeah, I said shoulders.
Yes, you did. Clearly, you should. Let's just move on.
So, I mean, talking about falling off, have there been any times when you've fallen off the horse?
Oh, many times. Many times I lost count.
What's the worst one you've had, man?
The worst one. So, I was riding at this barn that I left due to problems of
okay.
just toxicity.
Right.
So, they gave me this mare. She wasn't 100% trained. So, basically, I was training her and we were doing the course. And she gave me the confidence. I was like, okay, we're doing good. But I didn't know that she wasn't ready to jump. 90 centimeter or 80, it was around there. So, and it was two jumps, it was about this wide.
Okay,
so I was like, okay, I'm confident enough. I've done this before with different horses,
right?
So, I kept pushing her. She gave me the confidence she was gonna jump last minute. She, like, draped this.
Yeah,
I went flying. I fell.
You jumped,
yeah. So, basically, I jumped, I fell on top of the jump, and my ankle got caught in the jump, so it went like this, and then the point of my toe went inward.
Ow!
So I sprained my ankle. And it was pretty bad.
And this is why I'll never ride a horse.
That's not really why.
No, that's not really why. Yeah, wow, I mean,
that is insane.
That's crazy,
you,
man.
You see videos sometimes. You know, they do it in funny compilations, but that can be really bad. I mean, it's like you were saying, if you're on like even a medium sized horse, you know, let's say you're at least 6 feet on the ground, up off the ground, and then you're like traveling through the air, and then the horse decides to stop. I mean, that's crazy.
That's one of the like falls because I had to get a cast. Oh, but the second one was, so I'm riding internationally now. Okay. I ride in Mexico and Monterrey.
Oh wow!
Okay.
Wow.
So I'm competing in both states.
There you go.
And so we were just practicing. It did rain, so the arena was a little floody, a little wet. But we have special like dirt, so the horse can like doesn't slip.
Right.
But unfortunately, this horse did slip. Okay. So it was just a very small jump. Like it was nothing big. It was really small. He jumped it. Everything fine. He stumbled, and he like bent his knee. Tried to get back up, did. So basically, he went down on his knees. I went flying and I landed flat on my back, and
damn,
I couldn't breathe for like 20 seconds. It was bad.
Jeez.
And then
it's like getting punched by Tyson, bro, right there.
Yeah. Since then, I had to like get checked up by the doctor. Everything was fine.
Right.
I did sprain my other ankle, but it wasn't as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since then, I got like an air vest, and I can't ride without it.
Right. I got you. So I mean, having these. Like I said, you train people that want to learn how to ride. I'm pretty sure there's a list beyond list of people that want to come in and learn how to ride. Are the first ones that come in say, okay, I want to learn, and then when they see the actual horse itself, they're like, yeah, never mind, I don't want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, have you ever had the ones that actually back out?
No one has backed out, but
okay,
they do get nervous. I did have a client who, he was like, hey, I had this fall, and I want to get back into riding,
mm-hmm,
and because I get invited to like trail rides and all this fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I can get you there,
mm-hmm,
but first I need you to get rid of your fear. So what we do, even if you're starting, we get you to know the horse, we get you to brush the horse, learn how to tack up, and then from there we get you on. And it all depends on them. Like, hey, like, am I ready? Or I am ready. Depending on what they tell us,
mm-hmm,
we go on.
Okay.
You know what you should do? I mean, this is just my opinion. I actually heard this story from my dad. You put them on a donkey first. If they can survive the donkey,
a burro.
The horse,
put them on a burro.
Put them on a burro.
You have a donkey, so I might think about it.
that fear that they have will quickly be replaced by an unending rage.
Yeah.
There you go. Come on, burro. Let's go.
They left us behind. Nobody's around.
Come on, you're making me look like Juan Valdez. So, I mean, we have that horse riding stuff that's going on. And now that you say you're doing jumping also, do you have any young students that come in to want to learn how to jump also?
Yeah, I currently have a 4-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, she started off in a different barn.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like it. She got bored.
Oh, okay.
So she told her mom, I don't want to get bored. Like, take me somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm like, okay, I can't have her to get bored or else she'll leave.
Yeah.
But she started off really nice. Right now she's trotting, and she's just 4 years old, and trotting is harder than it looks because you have to like go up and down in the saddle. It's like when you're driving and you put your blinker.
Yes.
So when you're posting the trot, you have to go, actually you have to sit on the leg that's going the opposite side. So if you're going this way, you have to sit on the right shoulder so the horse knows, oh, I'm going to the left.
Right.
And then it's the other way around.
Right.
I'm going to the right.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's trying to learn. She does get scared, like she goes like this. I'm like, hey, relax, just sit up straight, everything just be fine. And she started to trot, and she started to do a little, like, we call it cavalettis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little pull. And she's starting to go over it little by little.
Right.
So she's a really brave girl, because not all 4-year-olds have that courage to take ride lessons.
No.
Right.
Especially on a really big horse.
No kidding, man. Go ahead.
My dad tried to put me on a horse one time when I was 4. No, man, I started screaming and crying. Like, get me the hell out of here. That's crazy, though. That's amazing. She's a prodigy. In training service.
Yeah,
that's
she's
great.
She's a great little girl. She has She has a passion for it.
Yeah.
And she has a talent as well. Like, every single day she comes. She comes once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So every single time she comes, she's improving a lot. And it's just once. If she would come in, like, 2 times or 3 times a week, she would have been probably jumping by now.
Wow. And so most of, do they have, like, do y'all have, like, a certain ceremony or something like that when they graduate from riding classes or something like that?
Not really. So what happens is, like, the barn I ride at, they start like arena 1, arena 2, arena 3, arena 4, arena 5. So the fifth one is like professionals, the ones who are jumping like the meter 60, or people who own horses.
Okay.
So how I do it is like, okay, we start on phase 1, I get you on walking the horse first on a round pit. I don't put you out in the arena yet because the horse can do something stupid and I don't want them to fall.
Right.
So I build their confidence up. We start getting to know each other as well as the horse and the trainer. So we start walking. I talk to her. I start to teach her like the basics, like heels down, how to post, how to hold her body up. And then from there, I'll be like, okay, I talk to parents. I'll be like, hey, your daughter or son is ready to move on to the next phase.
Right.
Are you willing to like keep pushing them on? Like, hey,
right.
I got your back. Like, I'm going to support you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk to them first, whatever the parent says. I go and move on with the student and then move on phases. And that's how my training is. Others work differently. Like, they're like, okay, well, you do this and we're going to do this now.
Right.
But I like to start with basics first. Then after basics, I let them know, you're ready for the next step. Let's get you going.
Right.
But there's no such like ceremonial, like you graduated from phase 1.
Right.
Unless it's like a clinic, then they do give you like a certification, like, oh, here's your certificate for completing level 4 or level 5.
Right.
But that's like a whole different story.
Oh,
but that's
okay.
More for like competition type.
Yeah, that's more like, oh, I want to get my technique like improved, like better.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go to clinics. Like, for example, me, and right now I'm working on a certification so I can go like not just to like schooling shows, but to rated shows.
Right.
Okay.
So right now my level is basically going from the meter to the meter 60.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that.
Oh, okay, all right. Guys, just to give you a heads up, I'm just getting a phone call from the wife right now. This is the first time ever. I'm looking outside our studio, and it looks bad. There's a storm coming in. But now, if for some reason we get knocked off the air, for some reason lights go out, I promise you we'll bring you back and finish this episode. Or if we have to do it video-wise, we'll do it that way. But just to give you a heads up, you are watching, and we get cut off, it's because the power went out. And for my son who's watching, don't worry, I'm fine, we're going to be okay.
I'm okay too, you know.
Nobody really cares about you,
Joe. Obviously not.
But back to Javier here. So horse riding itself, man, this ranch you have going on, you said it's owned by your grandfather, correct?
Yes.
Now, would you... This is the way I saw it, man. When Ella was telling me, they go, you got to talk to my friend. He has a ranch. And they go, well, let me look him up, you know, and see what's going on. And I was looking at the pictures he had, man. All these horses, bro, left and right. I mean, all these beautiful horses. And then you see them jumping and stuff like that. Man, this is a traditional modern cowboy. somebody who's knows. Pretty sure you know how to rope a horse, also.
Yeah, I started from Western, like I said, charro.
Mm-hmm.
So I started charro, and then I didn't like it. Went to Western. I liked it, but then I was like, no, I still want to do jumping. And then I did jumping. So
did you ever try riding a bull?
No.
What have we been talking about this entire time?
Well, you know, there's always that one process. That's why, because I have a buddy of mine that works with me, and he used to do rodeo. And he says, dude, I used to bull ride. He used to bull ride back in the day. And he's from the age of, I think he said from 15 till he was about at least 22, 23. And I go, why did you stop? I go, bro, you know how bad you get jerked around on that dang bull? I mean, I've fell so many times where I thought I wasn't going to get up because the falls are crazy. And this is like a raging bull you're riding.
Yeah.
I mean, let alone... Have you ever, I mean, like you said, well, here's another one. Have you ever had anybody get bucked off a horse by accident, by spooking the horse by accident?
My students, no.
Okay.
But personally, yes, and I've seen it from my friends who also ride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been bucked off so many times. My horse has reared on me, and I've fallen. So basically, like, it is a dangerous sport. Like, rodeo, charro, the equestrian community, it's really dangerous.
Yep.
Because you don't know, like, let's say today I would have gone ride. I don't know if my horse today is feeling it.
Exactly.
Like, he might start bucking, he might start, like, kicking, he might start biting. So we always have to be like, okay, today cannot be, it could be my day, but it cannot be a horse.
Right. And I've seen, used to work with a manager way back in the day who rode horses. He was part of a horse club. Also, I think they're based here in Elsa, Mercedes. I'm not sure where they're from. I used to see that he would watch videos on horse training, on how to keep them from being spooked. There was some stuff that I saw, like, man, this is just wrong, bro. The way they're treating their horses, how to, like, not to be spooked. Some use, like, a plastic bag that would channel around their face so they can get used to it. I mean, are all these traditional techniques, are there certain techniques that, you know, to train a horse?
Yes, so obviously there's a lot of different type of trainers. There's the abusive ones and the ones who take it step by step. So, like, for example, I have a little mare. She was just born, last month, I think. So when we wanted to get her started, like, on riding, so we're going to start first, like, with the halter, make sure she feels comfortable in it, make sure, like, she doesn't spook or doesn't spook at humans.
Right.
So we start, like, little by little. So we get them as babies if there's a chance, right? So we get them as babies. We start with the halter. We start, like, walking them into, like, all these type of obstacles, like trees, branches, loud noises, capes and stuff like that, and, like, the bags.
Right.
Personally, I love the bag one because, like, you can open an umbrella. You can have something like a coat on. And basically, that's going to help the horse not to spook, not to throw you off.
Right.
That's called desensitization.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's okay, yeah. Right now, I can't really.
Pero entendiste, ¿verdad? Pero entendiste. I understand. Did you understand?
Huh?
Exactly.
So, yeah, we start step by step. I've gotten so many horses abused, skinny. And what the purpose of my barn is to make sure the horses look healthy. Make sure they don't spook. Make sure they're kid safe for the kids.
Right.
And for not just for kids, but for anyone who wants to ride them.
Right.
And we just want them to be happy as well as, like, the riders.
Right.
So that's our purpose of our barn.
Right.
Because I've been to multiple barns. I did not do good. My horse was abused. I was, not abused, but, like, I was going through it as well.
Right.
Because I lost lessons because my horse was sick. And all because, like, they weren't getting the proper care.
Right. Yeah, because everybody's gone to a parade. You know, they usually at the very end or the very beginning, you have the horses that come in, they're riding. And I love watching them. They're fun to watch as a young kid. Now that I'm getting older and I see them, you really learn to look at the real aspects of something to it. I remember, I think it was like 9-12 years ago, we were at watching an event, a parade. I'm not sure if it was the Mercedes Livestock Show when they were doing the riding the horses in or not. I can't remember exactly what parade. But I see these riders, you know, older gentlemen, you know, viejones, you know, they're riding it. And, you know, they're making them dance, walk to the side and stuff like that. I'm like, okay. But at the same time, you're looking at the horse gnawing on the, what is it called?
The bit.
The bit,
mouth, yeah.
Yeah, they're biting on it. But at the same time, I see them, you know, hitting them on the sides. What the hell are they doing? And I'm looking at this horse, and there's some horses that I see, like, man, this horse is bleeding, man. What are you doing? I go, God damn. And you see him shoving the spur. I guess it's the spur that goes. I'm like, bro, just a little tap will make a move. You don't have to shank him in there. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know the first thing of riding a horse, how to train a horse or anything like that. You know, a guitar player can say, and you're going to beat the crap out of your fingers when you're jamming. You know, that's just going to make your calluses bigger and stronger. That's my excuse, but seeing that, I mean, to me as a civilian watching this, you feel bad for the horses, you know? But I mean, the way I've seen videos of you when you're riding, it doesn't look like you're doing that at all. You know, I think some of these viejones need to come learn from you, buddy. I mean, but have you seen that in when you go ride?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it since I was growing up. It's bad. It's something really important that us as equestrians, we want to get the word out there to stop the abuse of horses, especially the dancing horses. They get chains on their feet. They get really intense bits where, like, they're opening their mouth.
Yes.
And the horse is opening their mouth. So they only have one way to breathe, and it's through their nose and then through their throat.
Right.
So when they're opening their mouth with the harsh bit, they're like this, right?
Yeah, they're hitting their necks down.
They're blocking their airway.
Right.
So there's no way for them to breathe. So right. That's why they start foaming off from the mouth, or they yes. start to get rebellious. Like they start kicking, they start biting, because they feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And also, you can tell by their face. You can tell when a horse is sad, when a horse is angry. When a horse is not comfortable, you can just tell by their ears, their eyes.
Yeah.
Their eyes is like, it's something like, for me, it's the most beautiful thing a horse can have. Because that's how I know if they're happy, if they're sad, or there's something in their body is making them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
When I go to these parades and I see them myself, I can't watch.
Right.
And yes, like, personally, I do use spurs, but I don't use those, like, star spurs.
Right.
Like the Western spurs.
The traditional ones.
Spurs. Our spurs are like a little circle that it doesn't even have any edge or anything. It's like
it's just a little circle.
Yeah. Or just a little, like, the tip of my finger, and it's just like a little tap, but we don't make them bleed.
Right.
And yes, we have a whip, we use it. Sometimes we do have to use it, but we're not going to beat the crap out of our horse.
Right.
And these, well, especially here in the valley, like, it's sorry, it's really hard for me because I care for the animals.
Yeah,
it's like, it's really sad to see all these horses being treated so badly,
mm-hmm.
and that there's no one doing nothing about
right,
it.
Right,
like,
right,
just
right.
letting them be, and honestly, for me, that's abuse. Like, that's not good for the horses. At the end of the day, you want to ride your horse one day, it's going to buck you off because you don't.
It's been through torture already.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been tortured already. Yeah, and you know, and I see that. I would see that in most parades, you know, and. And I would freak out, like, wow, man. It makes you think of a Family Guy when one of the horse breaks his leg. He goes, sorry, buddy. We're going to have to take you out back. I can still stand on it. Look. You see? Yeah. And he gets on his back. Yeah, come on. You're ready. You know? And I think, yeah, what if the horse could ride the damn person that's right
outside? That's actually a really good example. I actually reposted it. I made it not too long ago.
Bingo, and that's because I wasn't watching it.
Yeah, it's a good example of how horses want to express themselves just by bucking you off, kicking you, biting you, when they're being put through a lot. You know?
Right.
So, personally for me, I don't like the dancing horses. We do have dressage, but it's more safer.
Okay.
It's more calm, more elegant.
Right.
More, like, bougie, I guess
you
can say.
Yeah.
But, like, the Western and the Charro, it's a little bit more... It also depends who the owner
the
is.
Trainer,
or
the trainer. Right.
Like, for example, me, if I see my horse having a bad day, I'm not getting my student on the horse.
Right.
I find a different horse. And we start from basics, or I teach them, like, hey, look, this horse not having a good day.
Right.
I'm going to teach you something. And we don't get on.
Right.
Until the horse is feeling better.
Right.
But I prefer to have my student safety and the horse.
I guess you could say, too, like a self-reflection, like from owner to horse or from horse to owner, you know. You know your horse is having a bad day, feed him something, you know, brush his hair or pet him. Okay, we're not gonna do that today. Don't worry about it. We're gonna relax.
If you look at the horse as a friend, you know, what would you do if your friend was in a bad mood? You try to make him
cheer him up.
Cheer him up as best as you could. If you're just looking at the horse like it's a piece of property, then you don't really care what mood it's in. And I mean, that's kind of the attitude you see, you know, with a lot of the older styles of vaqueros. And you know, all that style.
Yeah.
I mean, you. When the human is ready to go, doesn't matter if the horse is ready to go, it's got to go.
Right.
And it's got to do what it's told.
It's more like the, how can I say, the dominant. You go, I'm the dominant, you're going to do what I tell you to do, and whatsoever. And then listening to Javier speak, it's like, it's a 50-50. If you're not feeling it, I'm not feeling it. You know,
I'll
go when you're ready to go. Yeah. But if I need to do something, you got to go, hey, I sided with you last time, you got to side with me this time. Come on, let's go. You know, it's sort of like a football team. You know, you're coaching, and you need them to go out there and do their job. Yeah. But sometimes they're just not feeling it. It's not in the cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like not too long ago, I was riding, and I was like, my horse feels off. Like, he wouldn't listen to me. He would like just bolt off. And I got off with my hands like almost up to bleeding, like they were red.
Because
I was like yanking, like, hey, like calm down. So I was like, you know what? Let's just make it short and simple. I finished with flat work, which is just like walking, trotting. Sometimes it's like little poles.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended the day because I was like, I'm not going to push my horse to its limits.
Mm-hmm.
It's not having a good day. I don't want to fall off and I don't want to injure my horse either. So I was like, I'll just call it a day. And then we just let it, let the horse be, give him a nice shower, let him graze, be, and let him be horses. Because if you don't let him be horses, you're not going to get the results that you want.
Right, exactly. Exactly. God, we're going to take a pause right now. We're going to, we got some sponsors we got to say thank you to. Ain't that right, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go take a quick pause. We'll be right back with you, Javi. Big shout out to Anonis Construction. Give them a call at 956-363-7195. They are contractors, man. Great guys. They craftsmanship in what they do. They hire only the best to give you the best.
New construction,
remodel, new homes, renovations. I know right now they're doing a big project over in Mission,
yes.
Doing wonders over there. So I mean that's going to be.
They're doing what? What was it? An entire neighborhood?
A whole entire neighborhood,
yeah.
Bro. Jesus,
yeah.
Like the Lord Himself will be proud. But give them a call at 956-363-7195. Talk to Tony. Tony will help you out and let them know, guys. Chew and Ooh sent you. Also, a big shout out. Don't forget these guys, Triple J Plumbing, located here in Wesco. Give Juan a call, 956-854-9622, or Jerry, 956-478-5316. They are licensed plumbers, hospital grade, only residential, water heaters also. And if you had a problem with the flooding these a couple of months ago, these are the guys you want to get a hold of, man, because they're real good at what they do.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know we're still working on the commercial. He said, I'll get you a picture soon, dude. I'll get you a picture soon because I know you want to make this commercial. I go, dude, I've been waiting.
We've been waiting patiently.
We've been waiting patiently. Jerry.
We're trying to make you look good here.
Come on, dude.
Yes.
Jerry, get on the ball ready. And don't forget, guys, like always, your crap is there. Bread and butter, and you can already hear the rain coming in already. This is going to be fun taking Chew home.
It's going to be a blast.
Woo! Yeah, put on my truck, baby!
apparently, it was hailing over there in Don.
Oh, shoot. That's why the wife was hitting me up on letting
me
know, man.
Yep.
It's all good. We're safe up here in the beautiful Cortez doing our podcast here, so no worries. We're doing just fine.
I knew I shouldn't have left the house.
But we have also, don't forget, guys, if you are interested, we have our cups on sale. Hit that QR code right there and we'll get you going. Get you one ASAP as soon as you order. Geez, we can leave off on this, man. As far as the club wise, how does being in a. I've heard of. When I hear clubs, I think of Iron Horse. I think of motorcycle guys driving around their bikes, you know, going from town to town. But this is a club of riders, am I correct?
Yeah.
Of people that ride horses.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get into something involved like that? Take us through that.
Well, I mean,
how much time do we got?
I mean, so it's not just like riders. It's also like we do boarding, we do parties, photo shoots. So honestly, I don't know how we got it into a club. I mean, all the barns you have, like, if you look them up on online or Instagram, Facebook, they'll be like, oh, like, Monarch Stables Equestrian Club, right?
Right.
But I guess you can say club because, like, they all have, like, their little branches. Like,
right.
For me, for, like, my barn is JC Equestrian Club, so it's my club only because
right.
It's mine, right?
Right.
And, like, Monarch Equestrian Club.
Right.
So it's, like, I guess, like, kind of like a little, like, you know, in high school, they have their little clubs.
Right.
It's
kind
of basically like that.
Right.
Okay.
And as far as, do you have to be part of the actual stable itself to get into this club? Are there certain ways to get in, or?
No, I mean, if you own a horse and you want a board, you can be part of the JC Equestrian Club.
All right.
It doesn't really have to be, like, oh, you have to ride.
Okay. And so, I mean, as far as, like, my camera just went out, I got to fix it right now. But, take us a little bit. What I want to know is when you first rode your first time you rode your horse and you went to jumping for the first time. The first time you went jumping for the first time on your horse. What did that feel like doing your first jump? I mean, what was the talk up? What was the how did you get yourself to do it?
Well,
pretty much?
Ooh, honestly, it felt good. It feels like you're flying, but you do get nervous because you don't know if the horse is actually going to make it over the jump. Mm-hmm. But since I've been watching videos since I was when I got the flu and stuff, I was like, okay, so this is my first day jumping. I was like, okay, I need to do the position over the jump. I didn't know what I was doing, right?
Right.
But my trainer was like, go over, do it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just watched. I'm a visual learner, mm-hmm. So I was watching everybody go, and I was like, okay, they're doing this. So, I'm not going to lie, you get that adrenaline inside of you, the horse is going to jump, it's going to feel, cool.
Yeah, right.
And especially, when the height keeps going higher and higher, mm-hmm. It feels like you're flying. And honestly, my whole problems, they're gone.
Right.
I'm just focused, oh, you look cool, because they're
right.
I'm flying over these jumps.
Right.
So it feels really cool. It feels like you're flying. It's basically, I like to see it God gave me a horse. So with the horse, I have wings.
Right.
So that's how
you got a Pegasus. Look at you. That's pretty cool, man. And as far as riding a motorcycle back in the day, when you're riding, it's nothing compared to being a horse, but the feeling of riding on that machine, just like you're riding on that animal, everything just melts away. Being on a motorcycle, when you ride, you feel the wind hitting your face. You're riding and it feels amazing. Consider the fact you got vehicles coming left and right on you, but it feels amazing because you're riding on your own. You're by yourself. You are one with this machine.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone for long rides? Just nonstop on your horses?
Oh, so many times. I like to see the scenery of my ranch and just ride until the sunset. And just disconnect a little bit from the real world, and just me and my horse. And I also like my horse to have fun while we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done it so many times. And even when I don't jump, I walk my horse out and I take him to the back to go see the cows, to see the everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice because you get to disconnect a little bit and you get to breathe in fresh air and just relax. And something that I just found out that is I was breathing in and breathing out. And I didn't notice that my horse was doing it with me.
Oh.
So basically, I guess he was feeling that I was just relaxed. And he was like, oh, my rider's relaxed, so am I. So horses feel everything. They feel when you breathe. They feel when you tense up.
Right.
When your heart stops. Because there's times where I stop breathing and my heart kind of stops after they do something oh, I'm going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel everything. Even if you're really sad,
mm-hmm.
they know you're sad. And
right.
They make the best way possible to make sure that you feel relaxed.
Right.
Because they're basically their therapy as well.
Right.
There's a lot of
now, that's enough.
It sounds very therapeutic.
Yeah. Now that's another thing I want to ask you is I know there's a couple of stables that do offer therapy.
Yeah, equine therapy.
Equine therapy for that, and I know my wife and I want to take our son one time to get that because my son's really into horses also when he was younger lad. he loved horses even as a young kid, but we never really pursued it. But I have seen, do you offer that in your stables also as far as therapy?
As for now, not yet.
Okay.
But I am thinking, because you do have to be certified to be to do equine therapy,
because mm-hmm.
it's if you're a nurse, so it does take its time. But it is in the future we'll have equine therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my mom's watching. Hi, mom.
Don't say it, Miko. Don't say it. Don't say it.
But my mom, she got surgery from her spine,
okay.
her neck, and her lower back.
Okay.
And I remember after the recovery and everything, she couldn't turn and she couldn't she would just do this to this side.
Okay.
But to the other side actually.
Mm-hmm.
And with the time, she was like, oh, I don't want. Es que me estresa si te caes. And I was like, Mom, you can ride. You don't just have to, just stay there, right? Not do all what I do.
Right.
So, which I'm really proud of her. She started riding.
Oh, that's good.
And she started to have more mobility in her spine, her neck, her arms. She was able to stretch her legs after so many years of not being able to do exercise.
Right,
so
right.
So I was like, you see, Mom, the power that horses have? You don't just have to, oh, I jump and do all this stuff. You can just do basics, the walking, maybe just trotting.
Right.
Maybe a little bit of cantering, depending on the condition of the rider.
Right.
And also, like, I have my student. She, when she was a baby, she had a metal plate on her hip. So she has
Shoot.
So whenever she gets on, she, like, bends her knee. So she doesn't get on, like, a swing. No, she has to, like, bend her knee and then get on.
Right.
And she started, like, her leg. So when you're jumping, you have to have a nice, stable leg.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just have a moving back, because then when you land to the other side, you're not going to be balanced enough. So I started working on her. I was like, okay, we need to get your leg stable enough if you really want to jump. And if you want to compete.
Right.
So I started working with her and everything. And I started to notice that little by little, instead of bending her leg, her knee, she starts to swing her leg just very slightly, which I'm really proud of.
That's awesome.
And she starts to jump with a better stable leg. She's, she's able to push her heels down. And basically, horses help you out a lot, especially if you do bareback, which is basically no saddle, nothing.
Yeah, that's not in the cars they're having. You're right. Like,
so equine therapy, actually, they get the kids bareback.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is because the heat of the horse helps the kids a lot. I have a cousin who he started going to equine therapy and he couldn't speak and he started speaking.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it helps a lot. It helps a lot, not just us, but also kids with autism
or
kids who are paralyzed.
Right. It's something that, you know, us as humans, we don't realize how much power a certain little animal can affect your life or anything, you know. Just like these, like, little service dogs, you know, that they have, a lot of these older adults, even younger kids that have them to help with their anxiety or help with anything that they're in their lives, you know. And it's nuts how us as humans go, no, don't worry about it, he's gonna be okay, just let him relax. And then you get this little service dog or a horse, or it's like you get them close to these animals and they just, like,
It just opened up.
Mm-hmm. And it's what's so crazy sometimes, you know, that the power of an animal can do on a human being. It's nuts, man. It's nuts.
It's
so, as far as the horse riding and all that good stuff, what do you like to do on your time off? I mean, what is after when you're not out there in the stables with your horse? Now, don't tell me, I just like to stay in the stables. No, that's not true. What do you like to do on your time off when you're away?
Smoking, drinking, and
living the cowboy life.
I mean, I don't go out. I basically stay home. I like to sleep a lot.
Breathe.
So you're
yes.
But,
let's hear more.
I mean, but I do study. I'm studying to be an equine vet.
Oh,
so
awesome.
The school days, I go to college, come back home, do my homework, study, and if I have lessons, I'll go to teach. So basically, I try to keep myself busy just because I don't want to be all day cooped up in the house.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, in my free time, I go ride. I train myself and my horse personally.
Right.
So that's what I basically do in my free time, besides sleeping.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I do. I'm basically 24/7 at the barn most of the time.
Wow. Now, another question. I mean, have you had anybody, considering that you have a stable out there, I'm pretty sure there's always... I can say, and I'm gonna dip into the musical artist people, because a lot of people like to do videos in certain areas. You know, has anybody approached you of doing videos in your stables or on your ranch or anything like that? And what's the process of that? Just to get somebody there, this guy's a ranch, and we can do a music video there, or we can hold a scenery for a movie, or you know, is there a certain way, or what steps do you take?
Last year, I have this friend who she was gonna get married. She's like, "Hey, I wanna do a video, but it's gonna have music in it." And I was like, "So like a music video?" She's like, "Something like that." So she reached out to me because she wanted to ride, because she wanted to come out riding, kind of like that, like in the movies, like they're riding, there's music in the background.
Right.
That's what she wanted.
Palos, chimero.
So she's like, "Hey, we actually have like 4 weeks." I was like, 4 weeks? I was like, how am I gonna get you ready in 4 weeks? Like, it takes at least 6 months for you to be 100% ready.
Right.
Or not 100%, but like an 89% ready.
Right.
And then she was like, "Well, I'll come every single day, all these 4 weeks to get ready." And I was like, "Okay." So honestly, I don't know what I did, but I got her ready in 4 weeks, and the day of her filming, She was a pro. She was riding out there with the horse. She was leading horses back and forth, and it
was
really nice.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got her ready in 4 weeks, and she had the most beautiful wedding music video ever.
Wow. Then we had to call Javier the horse whisperer. Colossals now, bro. That's crazy, man. That's crazy too. I mean, it's like you said, 4 weeks. That ain't happening. It's like me trying to teach somebody to play guitar in 4 weeks. Hey, I got a gig coming in 4 weeks, and you just show me how to play this, like 10 songs. Yeah, that ain't happening.
Well, you're a terrible teacher. That's why.
Yes, I am.
I would have learned a damn song by now.
It's the truth, man. I mean, it takes time to learn these things, man. And then for her to, she must have. That just proves another point. Also, choose, like, if you really want something, you really want to go for it, you're gonna, you know, force yourself to learn something because you need to get it done. You know, I'm pretty sure through the years, riding yourself. I mean, I'm pretty sure you, when you did your first jump, you were scared out of your mind, but you pushed yourself to get there. I mean, was this your idea to jump, start jumping, or was it something that somebody else tried to encourage you to do that?
It was. I mean, since I started watching it on Netflix, like all these series and movies of the jumping, I always wanted to do it. And I always wanted to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was basically my idea. My mom was scared because she was like, "That's a pain, hijito, y que no, no si te lastimas." And basically,
that's a mom.
That's a mom.
Yeah, like for a while, I did feel a little bit restrained because she was like, "I want to fall." Like, all these injuries, like they will lecture me, like, all these injuries, you're gonna have them when you get older. You're gonna feel it later. Not gonna lie, I do feel them, but I don't care. Like, I just keep going, and I mean, that's
I can know, Mom. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt, Mom.
Yeah, like, no, me duele, estoy bien. Gets in the groom and cries.
Or just when you're getting up, like,
yeah.
I hear you, man. I hear you, dude. So, information. How can people reach out to you if they want to head out to your ranch or to your stables, or they want to learn how to horseback ride? They want to learn how to maybe train the horse, their own horse, or maybe someone has just recently bought a horse and they want to go out there and, you know,
they want to board the horse.
They want to board the horse at your stables. What information can you offer? I mean, for all that information.
Also, yeah, any
social. Yeah, the social media is
also Instagram, Facebook, and also my phone number. We are under JC Question Club. And that's how they can reach us. They can send us a DM or a text to Facebook. And we post a lot on Facebook. In July, where we'll be having a summer camp for 10-year-olds and 17-year-olds. And it's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of kinds of activities. They're going to have tug-of-war, water balloon fights, arts and crafts. And at the end of each day, they're going to be able to ride a horse, learn how to tack, and learn how to groom, and basically the anatomy of a horse.
Wow.
So we have that this coming month.
That's awesome.
Oh, and we also have horse shows for those who, like, they want to ride. We do take them to horse shows.
Okay, cool.
So we go to competitions. I have one this June 28th and July 27th, and we go to Corpus. It's called a schooling show because we start out with basics, like, just so they can get, like, their nerves and start getting to know, like, oh, this is what a horse show feels like.
Right.
Imagine how the big horse shows feel like.
Right, right.
So we get them out there, and then with time, we take them to bigger horse shows. And if they are able to travel, then we can also take them to Mexico.
That's pretty. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool, man.
And it's more than 4 weeks. It's not going to be a
miracle. Oh, yeah, no.
It's like, not going to be a miracle.
No, it's going to be a time process.
Okay. Guys, if you look at the screen right now, I have actually the actual QR code that you can reach on there to get a hold of Javier here. It's right there on your right. If you look to his left, your right, you can go and scan it. It's on the screen, bro. You can get all the information through there, so you get everything you need to know to actually learn how to ride a horse and all that good stuff you just met. And also all the information that's going to happen further down the way as far as events for his club and also for the stables that he has out there. Javi, I mean, first of all, I want to say, we're 48 minutes in, but I want to say what you're doing as far as instructing young kids to go into this art, you know, consider the fact this is an art that's been around for a long time, but very few pursue it. Horse riding, something.
It's a very big part of our culture.
Yes, it is, especially as far as the Latino culture. It's a very big part of our culture. You know, for years, my dad, lived in Mexico, and he said he had a horse of his own. He would ride his horse all over the place. And I never believed him until my uncle has a ranch here north of Wesico, and I think I was like 19, 18 years old at the time, and I saw him jump on one, and he took off. I'm like, the hell? He goes, yeah, it's like riding a bike. You never forget. You know, and my uncle would laugh at it. Hombre, baja detrás a callar. You know, all that stuff. It's weird. You know, that's something I think everybody in their lifetime should try to learn. You know, ride a horse. You know, be one with an animal. Go and go on the open range and just take off. But first, learn the steps. Don't just say, "I'm gonna borrow your horse. I'm gonna jump on that." Wham! Never mind. I'm out. But to learn that, I mean, how long does the training take, more or less?
If you want to get professional, I mean, you never stop learning.
Okay.
I keep learning every single day, but I started jumping probably like 2-3 months in, depending on how fast the person learns.
Right.
So it all depends also on the rider. If they learn fast, well, probably it'll take them 4 months, 3 months, maybe 2, depending on how they're learning. And for me personally, it took me years to get where I am now.
Right.
But when I started training like my own horses, it was during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So we were staying in Mexico, and I have a ranch in Mexico as well. And I had chattel horses, and I was like, I don't want to do chattel. Like, I don't like it. Like, I'm bored.
Right.
It's just like circles to one side, circles to another, like cantering and slide. That's it. I was like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? This horse has the basic training. Let me see if this horse is willing to jump. So I started off first with the lunge line. It's a lead line on a circle.
Right.
I see how the horse moves. Okay. If they look fancy enough, I think they can do this. Then I back then in the ranch, I didn't have actual jumps. So I would start off with 2 bricks and just a branch of a tree. I'm like, okay, let's start off. So
yeah, it's a Mexicano.
Yeah, so like I started off with like a pole, and then I started raising it up little by little.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, this horse has potential. Then I got on, and I started to teach them the basics of show jumping.
Oh. Okay.
And then that's how I started building it.
Right. Well, that's good to know, man. Because like I said, it's in our heritage to learn all that good stuff, man. Because one day, you know, you never know. Hey, apocalypse come by, and the only thing to ride is a horse. You better know what the hell you're doing, man. too bad for you.
That's
really gonna help.
Yeah.
Now,
I know how to wash a horse's mane.
Well,
properly,
it's something. It's something.
All right.
But no, Javi. First, I want to say thank you so much for coming out, having a good time. I know you're a little bit nervous, but the nerves look like they came off already. So you did a great job on the podcast. For the first time you've done a podcast, thank you so much for coming out.
Feed
him something. Give him a carrot.
No,
but I want to say thank you so much, man. And what you're doing is great, man. What you do as far as the stable, it's wonderful. You know, keep up the good work. And who knows, later down the line, you're probably going to be one of those high caliber riders that are on TV. They're like, oh, okay, you have the infomercials. If you want to ride a horse, hey, it may happen, it may not. But all we can say is thank you so much for coming to the podcast. We appreciate
you.
No, and I hope
back anytime.
Yeah, whenever you have anything coming up that you need to let us know through our Facebook page. We'll gladly put it up on our Facebook page and promote it ourselves for you. So thank you so much, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we're 53 minutes. We are kind of short, but you know, so the weather's
we gotta get out of here.
It's very severe that I'm seeing out here.
Yeah.
Ooh, look, lightning!
I have a metal leg.
Yes, a metal leg. Yes,
yeah.
We're gonna make some.
Yeah.
We're gonna go back to the future. But what did you think of the show, Chu?
Awesome, dude. I got so many ideas running around my brain right now,
and that's kind of scary for me to know.
Listen to this. Choose miniature donkey farm. Yeah.
I kind of like the ring of that. That's something good.
You ran a miniature donkey from me for an hour. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, I got you. Whatever
if
happens.
If it throws
happens.
You off, if it steals your car, that's fine.
That's all on you.
It's all on
you. No, thank you once again, guys, for tuning in this week. Next week on the podcast, we have Freddie Honda, tattoo artist. I know he's been on the podcast quite a few times, as a popular owner, but this time when he's coming in, we're going to talk about his new tattoo studio, man. And it looks like it's going to do some damage because he got some good stuff. Yeah. And I'm up for some ink work. I'm not sure when it'll be, either the day before the pod or the day after the pod, but I will showcase it on the following podcast so you guys can look at it.
Are you finally going to get that hummingbird on small ear back there?
Cat's out of the bag. Cat's out of the bag.
Nice.
But guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We will see you next week at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday night. This thing will be back here again. Hopefully, if there's not any tornadoes coming out of here. Let's just hope he goes to Oz. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Two signs out. And I will see you next week, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday. Latest, gators, peace out.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah.